if you were to start a beauty brand now,
yeah,
it must be so
difficult.
Hard.
The competition is mental. We have started again. We nearly had to fold the company. We'd just been pulled from our biggest retailer. We're in debt with what this, that and the other. And I thought, I am a massive fraud.
Every big loss has been the thing I remember the most.
Always.
And it's the thing I've learned. You don't learn from winning.
No, putting money into the promotion and the big photo shoots without putting money into the stock and the things that actually make it tick along.
We never, ever intended to have our own brand.
We've realised that this is a dangerous combination because we're the same.
Us two together.
Running a business, there'd be no money in it.
It would be bust. We'd be in Selfridges every day.
Welcome back to another episode of Managed. Today's guest is really, really special because she's almost been my pen pal for years. Oh. It's Dani Gregory from Dole Beauty. Oh.
We have been Insta friends for how long? We love each other, don't we? Like, we've never actually
Since like 2020.
Yeah.
So like we've never been in the same room.
Never.
So it feels like I've met my long lost sister.
But it felt like I knew you straight away. We've just been like, it's like we've been here all along, isn't it?
Been love yapping.
It. Yeah.
So obviously I do want to speak to you about your business. Because Dole Beauty, I would say, is a staple in everyone's makeup care. I think you're an icon anyway. Like your Instagram is like my favorite. Like you literally just show the ins and outs of your life, like the glamorous side. And I know you also have a business partner, Samantha Allen. So she's kind of a bit more like my Ella, I would say.
Yeah.
In terms of, we've realised that this is a dangerous combination because we're the same.
Us two together.
Running a business, there'd be no money in it.
It would be bust. We'd be in Selfridges every day, spending all the profits.
Having a little Prosecco.
Love it.
Having a great time.
Yeah.
So tell me about how you started Dole Beauty, because you were a makeup artist to begin with.
So I was a makeup artist working for a brand and Sam was working in Harvey Nichols where I was based. So we kind of linked up. You wouldn't really put us together as friends, really, because we're so, so different. Like she's like Victoria Beckham and I'm like Jerry. Let's just say it like that. It's easy, easy to explain. So we connected like over our love of like makeup and spiritual things, whatever. So I was doing some makeup on the side. I was creating my own lashes, like I was tripling up lashes at the time. The eyelids were just too thin for these northern girls, so I was tripling the lashes. And I just said to Sam, should we do a little brand, like start our own business, because there was no competition at this time. The main lash brand, I think, was Lily Lashes. They were in America. They were £25 a go. We said, let's just, you know, create something affordable that is big, because you remember 2016, they were big. So we started this little lash brand. Sam built the website on a little laptop. We just started the lash brand and like we got to know all the celebrity makeup artists, all the influencers that were at the time. And we just built from there, really. We started with 500 quid. We used to make our own packaging. We used to do everything ourselves. We still do, really. But yeah, that's how it started. And then it just blew up. I'm a little bit of a blagger, a little bit of a, what's his name? Not Rodney, the other one. Only Fools and Horses. Delboy. That's the word I'm looking for. That's crap. So I had a friend that had moved from Harvey Nichols into Topshop, Emma. She'd gone into like marketing in Topshop and she said, can you just put a little makeup stand in Topshop this Saturday? And I thought, I'm going to put my lash stand in there. So I had a lash stand made, put the lash stand in there, got two gorgeous girls from Chester in little pink jackets, and they sold out the lashes before 12 o'clock. Like the whole stand of lashes got sold out. So that was just like Topshop just went mad for us then and rolled us out into like 100 stores. And that was really the start of it. And then it's just been like a mad journey ever since, because you just learn along the way. Mm. Like we're just learning along the way. We never, ever intended to have our own brand. Never looked at Estee Lauder and thought, oh my God, I'm going to be you or I want to be you. It was just like, let's do a little sideline. So it's just all gone from there. It's been a bit...
It's a bit crazy, isn't
I've
it?
I've tried to keep that short and sweet.
I enjoyed every moment. It's interesting because you're talking about 2016, which is obviously a very different time.
Yeah.
If you had to restart now, do you think it would have the same effect? Because I do think if you were to start a beauty brand now, it must be so
difficult.
Hard.
The competition is mental. We have started again, because this year was a terrible year for us. January, we nearly had to fold the company.
Really?
Yeah, it was really bad. So we've rebranded. So not just rebranded the packaging, we've rebranded in every sense and form. So we've started from the get-go of like rebuilding. But we are established, so it's different.
Yeah.
I don't know what someone would do if they came in now. They'd have to be very, very different.
Like a celebrity. Because I think all the ones you see now really pop, have like a big face.
They've got, it's definitely a personal brand. But like Refai, They come in like 4 or 5 years after us, maybe later, they've smashed it. So it is possible. You've just got to have something different. Like Refi came out, didn't they? Everybody was pink and quirky and doing all like mad things. But they came out and just brought it simple. So you've just got to be different. If I was to start again, it'd just be totally different. And But I think
your brand is your personality.
It is, of course.
And I just want to go back to you. Obviously, I know you said in January you almost folded.
Yeah.
What if say you're another brand in that position?
Yeah.
And you know, we don't need to go into the ins and outs of it, but what advice would you give them? Because I think, like, I remember there was when we first sort of started, you know, the first few years were really tough for us, and we did the same thing. We rebranded, but obviously we used like all of our savings to do it.
Yeah, of course. So it's been expensive.
So what advice would you give to maybe another company or brand in a similar position now and maybe really struggling? Because I do think people feel like they're from like floating water.
It is. It's so hard at the minute. You've got to rein it in. What we've done, we've took it right back. We was at a time at one point where we had 200 staff, maybe more, but we've reined it right back. We've literally got 7 people hand running the whole business. That's warehouse, that's graphics, that's marketing, that's social, that's me, that's pickers, packers, everything. There's 7 people. You've got to get it back to that stage to realize where you went wrong.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm doing now. I'm looking at every part of the business and just learning from the mistakes of the past and looking where we've gone wrong.
So I sort of talk about this a lot, running before you can walk. And that is, I think people forget that, especially in the world of social media, sometimes you do get a bit excited and you go, I want everyone to see I'm a bigger CEO and I'm this and
this
I'm that.
Is the thing.
And then you haven't got a base.
Yeah.
And then you're like kind of like folding cards and it's just...
But it's all about now looking good on the outside, but maybe not on the inside. Mm. So everybody's about what they're showing at the front, and that's maybe a mistake. Maybe did we make that? Were we putting money into the wrong things, really? Mm. Putting money into the promotion and the influencers and the big photo shoots without putting money into the stock and the things that actually make it tick, make it tick along. So it's just rein it in. But like I was going to say, if you've not got the passion anyway, you know this, you're so passionate. You're the best at what you do. If you've not got the passion anyway, you're not going to make it succeed.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So you've got to find something that you really, really love. Because I would not let this fold. There's no way. I had a hold of it like this because it's my passion. I don't know what I'd be without Doll.
So I always say I would die trying to make 100%. This business work. Like there's no way. I can't even imagine that.
Never. Because it's in our hearts and this is what we love to do. So you just make sure it's in your heart and it's what you love to do. And just prepare to just rein it in. Just cut back on all these massive big costs. Like... we're talking like big costs. I'm sure we took like Pete Wicks and all these bleeding influencers to Ibiza. It was the best holiday we've ever had. We took about 30 people and I don't think we had probably any good video content at the end of it. It was amazing because it's so good for everybody to see that we was away with these people and we just had a ball and made friends for life. Like Ariana Achar was there, Holly Boone. But really, we was absolutely like, because it didn't matter because Topshop was like amazing for us. So now I am so thrifty. Not majorly.
No, you're not.
I've got better with things like haggling things down, like prices of shipping and before I would never like look at the details. I'd just be like, let's pay the invoice. But now I'm looking at the details. I'm comparing prices. It's made me like more conscious of where we're spending money.
Yeah.
And I think if you can do that from the beginning, you're going to fly anyway. We didn't do that at the beginning.
But I also think there is a power in like learning because...
Yeah,
honestly, like I say this a lot. Every big loss has been the thing I remember the most.
But
and it's the thing I've learned. You don't learn from winning.
No.
Ever. So it's, I think, people might be able to from the beginning.
Yeah.
But they will always be in a position where they have to learn from it. And I think, especially in a product-based business, obviously it's so different. I'm service-led.
Yeah.
But product-based businesses, it's always harder because you've got to have the stock before you've even sold.
So hard.
And it's not like you can do like a pre-order thing and, you know, it's just crazy.
It's the stock situation has got so much worse since we started in 2016. Shipping is like sky high. It's just hard to even get your product there. It takes 6 months now,
an economy thing, issue? God,
I don't know because I don't watch this. Anything to do with the House of Commons and all these people talking bollocks. I just know that things have been, maybe I should.
I don't think you need to. I think people like the honesty of like, we were saying before that there's a lot of things that people assume you would know that we don't know.
Don't know.
And I don't think that you, I always say you hire the best.
Yeah.
And people who are better at you. So, better at you, better than you to do things.
You can't do everything.
No.
You can't do everything. And you've got to be, I'm creative. That's just it. I'm not a numbers girl. I never have been. Like, what did they teach you in school? Let's be honest. They taught you algebra. You're not going to pay attention.
Theorem.
Yeah. Why not sit the girls and boys down and like show what cash flow is, show what this is. We'd be a lot more forward in our country if we had that from the get-go.
Yeah.
I haven't got a clue. I'm learning now. I didn't bother in the beginning because Sam and the accountants were looking after that. So I never really looked at things like that. People assume you're going to know your margins and your figures and your this and your that. You don't always look into it.
Yeah,
but you can still have a good business. Yeah, especially if
you've got a business partner. But
it's now, I sound so stupid, but like, it's just my interest is the front end of things. Like, it's the product development, the people using it, like the community, the social media. That's my interest. I'm not interested in figures, but my goal. I've got a goal.
Go on.
So we've always employed friends, which is fine because they are amazing. Friends and family are so good, but we've never actually gone out and hired experts in certain fields. So this is the part of the rebrand. I want a financial director that works in-house, like somebody that's literally...
That revolutionised my life, by the way.
Yeah, we've never had it. We've like, never had anybody telling
going
us.
Going through figures every day, making sure that we're really hot.
Understanding it.
Yeah, and also understanding your budgets.
Yeah.
So before, you know, we've already financially planned for next year. So we know exactly.
Oh, girl.
Thank you, darling. But like, you know, we know where we're making hires and what we need to make sure, like the goals we need to hit for, to do that and what that looks like. And I think in terms of also, you know, Christmas, we want to make sure that the people who could like create this business, like staff, talent, feel so appreciated.
Love that.
But that comes obviously at a cost. You've got to make sure all that balances out. And I do think in no matter what business, when it starts to do well, people just think you're rich.
Always.
Like
they
everyone
see you everywhere and they think you're rich. And it's like, I had to do a big TikTok because everybody was like, oh my God, you're smashing it. You're doing so well. This, that, and
the other.
But it wasn't at the time. We weren't smashing it. We was competing in a market where everybody was discounting. We was trying to join the Joneses and we were discounting our products to a level where we couldn't afford.
Yeah.
We hadn't broke it down. And everyone was like, oh my God, you're smashing it. Doll, 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 doll. We'd just been pulled from our biggest retailer. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen the TikTok. We were in debt with what this, that, and the other. And I thought, I am a massive fraud. Like, we had to let go of our biggest, we had a massive warehouse in Manchester, like on the parks where JD are, you know, it was huge. And I thought, this is all like crashing down. And I thought, everybody's saying you're smashing it. I'm going to tell you we're not. And I did a massive TikTok and I just was so like, relieved to be able to talk to people and say, this is not real life. Like what I'm putting out there to show you, this isn't what's happening behind the scenes. This, 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 and this has happened. So
do you think it helped business doing that and being really honest with your
customers? I do. I think it's helped a lot with everybody that's new us because I always like say, I come across as like everything's all right. It's amazing. So people just think, oh, Danny's all right. It's all good. But I think there's so many friends that we've had in the industry and like our community that were like, wow, we didn't know this was going on. This is and it's just made they're more invested into the rebrand now because they thought the rebrand was just about changing the packaging. It's not, it's like a whole new beginning for us. So they were just like, they're all behind so much more. And I think I've never wanted to be a personal brand just because I'm a little bit gobby and I could say the wrong things. So
but
I never
I think
wanted...
that's your beauty though. Yeah,
I know, but sometimes people have told me, maybe previous PR agencies, that it's not the right thing. So I was always too scared to step in front of my brand and like be that ambassador kind of thing. But I do now, I've started to have a bit more confidence in myself and feel, no, actually I'm more relatable than quite a lot of people would be.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be like Hailey Bieber level, but I'm a bit more relatable to her, to the girls and guys of the UK, you know?
But I think even that one TikTok really shows the power of being honest with your followers and your customers and understanding them. And like one of the things I was going to ask you, which I find really interesting, especially a brand that's been around from 2016, has your customer evolved with you? Like, is it a similar demographic you're going for?
Yeah.
Or has that evolved with you as you guys have evolved?
So we didn't evolve really. We stayed the same. Do you get
so
what I'm
funny.
Saying? I'm just saying with the products, they were always that good. So when we had the pink and the love hearts, it was so attractive because MAC was black. Everything was like quite a little bit boring really back in 2016. I can't think of a brand that was like fun and quirky, probably maybe Too Faced, but I don't know. So we stayed like that. Mm-hmm. Big mistake, because all our customers were growing up.
Yeah.
They were growing up and they were becoming like aesthetically pleasing, you know, beige yeah. ladies. So, but we stayed for a little bit too long in that, in that pink era,
yeah.
which we're still pink now, but I'd say we're a bit more grown up and more aesthetic yeah. and, you know, but we did stay a bit too long in that era. And that was just maybe us overlooking and not having our eyes on the ball by thinking, actually our customers changed.
Yeah.
We need to change quick, but we've done it now. Which is, it's been amazing for us, you know, so.
It's really amazing to hear the honesty of that, because yeah. I think a lot of brands don't really take accountability yeah. when things go wrong, or anyone really, yeah. because we're in this era of looking a certain way,
yeah.
like looking rich rather than being rich.
Yeah.
And, you know, and like you said, looking at the shop front and out of house.
Yeah.
And I was with someone the other day and he manufactures clothes and he was like, you know, what's mad is every brand puts yeah. so much money into this, into the marketing campaign.
Yeah.
But actually the product is not great.
Yeah.
And people buy into that for sure. But when they realize the product isn't great, then you're not having a repeat.
They're not going to be repeat. We did get the repeat because of
the product is great, by the way.
The product inside.
I'm wearing the highlighter now.
She's gorgeous. I love that. We were always a makeup artist brand. So the product has always been insane because it's like the quality is another level. Obviously, it's approved by us. We were makeup artists, but the packaging was just looking kiddish. Mm. And I've told this story before, but I went to Ashley Stobart's event and she introduced me to a lady and she went, oh my God, this is Danny that owns Doll Beauty. But she went, oh my God, Summer loves your products. I think her name was Summer. Summer was 9 and I thought, oh, I wanted to be my future customer and I love Summer and I wanted to enjoy the products, but I also want you to be my customer because yeah. that's who I created the brand for. And it was a big panic. I thought, no.
I think those things are like quite eye-opening and then you go, okay, hold on. So this yeah. is amazing. I've got this customer, but how do I keep...
She's our future. Summer's yeah. our future. She'll stay with us, but I want to be in your bag. I yeah. want you to be proud to pull out your solid start brush, you know? So yeah. that was it.
That's really interesting to see like that change. And I think in terms of like how your influencer marketing works now
yeah.
compared to before, what would you say is the biggest change for you that you've seen? Because you've worked with quite a few of our clients.
I love your clients. You have all the best because you're the best. Oh. GK is the one. Do you know what I mean? We're aiming for that. Let's have a little collab. When I'm a multi-millionaire and I'm doing these figures of road, I want that GK on my, I want to collab with her. But it's changed because...
You've always gone really high end because even so, yeah. you used to work with Yvonne Victoria, who we had, and she is incredible.
Obsessed.
But you've always worked with these most incredible talent.
That's my thing. It's my like. I know you're definitely the same because you'll find somebody who's like up and coming. Mm-hmm. Like I could find some. I do street walk. You know, like I'll go through Chester Town and I can pull someone out who I know is gorgeous and she's going to look on camera, and I've got that eye for like, I know who's amazing and who's going to work for the brand. I just love
people.
If
you get stopped by Danny, she's not weird. She's yeah. like, she wants you.
No, I do it all the time. Like, all the time I stop people in Waitrose or somewhere, like, you know, and I'm like, my God, I've got a brand called Doll Beauty. Like, could you come and model for us? And then we get them into the studio, but London's the place for it. Jesus Christ.
There's a lot of beautiful people.
Oh my God, you're walking, Rob. I feel a little bit more embarrassed here than I do in Chester.
Why?
I feel silly because they think, who's this idiot?
No, sometimes I do this like, game on the tube.
Yeah.
And if someone's like really beautiful, I'm just like, I wonder what they do.
You need to get.
No, but I'm like, I wonder what they do. But I always think it's like model
yeah.
vibes.
Yeah.
Because if it's an influencer, usually I can kind of figure it out.
Yeah.
And, but I also... I'm a little bit shy in that sort of respect. Yeah. So I won't go up to someone on the street.
Yeah.
And I get really
that
shy.
That surprises me.
Yeah, I am.
Was.
No, I am shy.
Really?
In terms of that side of things, like yeah. if you put me in a boardroom or a meeting room, I'm yeah. not shy.
No.
I know my shit. I know yeah. my figures. I know my, like my talent.
Yeah.
At the back of my hand, like I know their mum's names. I know their birthdays.
Yeah, yeah,
I know
yeah.
their horoscope. I know everything about what they want to do
yeah.
and where they're going to be in the next 5 years. And that's like my superpower. But on the streets, no chance. Or
no.
if I'm like at an event, someone goes, oh, hi, you're Hannah. And I'm like, and I almost like lose the ability to speak. I find it very like, when I'm taken out of my comfort zone and lose that control.
Yeah.
I'm a bit like.
You're like, good in your space.
Yeah, when I feel safe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, well, I don't not feel safe, but you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. I had a lot of that.
And people assume when you've got, because we're both loud.
Yeah.
Like this room
they think
is
you're going. No, but they think you're going to be all out bold.
Yeah,
but,
and like
bulging.
Walk into a room and be like, you're all right. Like,
yeah.
No, if
yeah.
anything, I usually walk in quite sheepish.
Yeah.
I feel like people sometimes maybe have a preconception of you.
Yeah.
So you kind of almost don't even want to prove people right. So
yeah.
you're very cautious of how you
yeah.
come across.
And overthinking.
Yeah, and also I think you get blamed for more things when you're loud.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not the loud person in the room. Really? Definitely not. And people, we're the same in that sense. It's so odd. I think that's a little, do you not think what you've just explained, there's a little bit like imposter syndrome, a tiny bit. I get a little bit.
I've never called it that because people say I've got imposter syndrome.
Yeah. I'm not diagnosing you with it. Definitely not.
No, but when people say it, I just think.
Because you shouldn't have
because
it.
Because I just think I do deserve to be where I'm at because I've worked so hard. Definitely do. And the same with you, but maybe there's different elements to it. So, but when people talk about it, I go along with it, but I don't really understand what people mean. Like, surely you know the work you've put in, so you know you're in the right place.
I don't know. I had a bit of that. Like, I still probably can't go into, like, I couldn't have gone into a retailer meeting with the high level people. Mm. We had someone to do that for us, a retail manager.
But that's the whole point of outsourcing.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course. But I did feel like, oh, I did have a little bit of imposter syndrome, definitely, but my confidence is really growing now. Mm. But you are insane. I've got to say this while I'm on this pod, because I've always said, if I was to ever go on Love Island, or if I was to ever be a celebrity in any way, shape or form, you would be the first person I would come to. Aww. What you've done with your people, especially, you know who, GK, is phenomenal. Oh, it's actually mind-blowing, honestly, and you should be so proud of yourself. Oh, so I hope you don't have imposter syndrome, because it's insane, and I always say that about you. Aww. And I mean it, you're amazing. So what you've done is amazing. So let's get me in there. Let's get us in Love Island for over 40.
That was really kind, thank you. Do you know one of the things that I want to talk to you about is, and we spoke about it before, we actually had too many good conversations off camera.
I know what he was thinking. Guys,
keep the energy, is personal branding. And obviously we spoke before about, you know, you wanting to now kind of step more in front of the camera, and people before maybe weren't as supportive of that. I think personal branding is one of the things that really have shot up HLD. Yeah. And I really encourage my staff to do it. And we've got like a whole thing for next year. I really want to see more. I don't want to see myself always in front of the camera, which is why this pod, I've got more of my staff involved. Yeah. I think it's so important. But I know you're a little bit shyer with it. But then I also don't think you are, because your Instagram is fab.
I'm getting better now. I'm getting a lot better and more confident in myself, in like being the front person. But there's people in the past that have taught me out of it, just because I'm a little bit outspoken. And
but that's a superpower.
But these people are so used to somebody being like the stiff front of house. Whereas I think our, like, this generation's changed. Like, not everybody's perfect. Mm. And I think, you know, when you see people like Ashley Stobart with the cosmetic consultant, like she says what she thinks, and it's not, you know, it's not looked down upon. Mm. Like, it's amazing. She's, people really respect her and they buy into her brand a lot more because of that. And I think that this community of people that are doing a personal brand is giving me more confidence to think, well, actually, no, I am okay to be to be the front of my brand. And but as well, the team, I think it's so important, like you said, to showcase the people behind the brand as well, not just the one person. Because I like to think of ourselves now as the people's brand. So they can relate to some, like, many people in our team, not just one. So we show loads of the behind the scenes, like on TikTok and stuff. But yeah, I think it's really important to show the person behind the brand 100%.
There's also, I think sometimes I used to feel like I was judged for what I look like, how I present myself to the world.
Yeah.
And I think when you're a woman who really takes pride, that I would take pride in what I look like. And I'm also from a different generation where, you know, maybe I do want to wear something that maybe other people wouldn't think is business wear.
Our styles could look quite similar.
Yeah. Like, you know, I'm trying to say this in the politest way of like, how I dress is however I feel and how body confident I am and whatnot. And I think there's such a power to that. But I think sometimes people assume you can't be smart and a bit sexy, or smart and want to wear a full face of slack. And I think one of the things we're trying to tackle here is, I think you can look whatever you want.
I always say,
you don't have to come to work with no makeup on. Just like, obviously wash it off from the night before.
Yeah.
I like, you know, like, don't come in hungover and stuff. Love that.
Last night's outfit.
You can't. And I just think, you know, as long as you're presentable, you can come however you want. And everyone's style is different.
Yeah.
But have you ever had that sort of either criticism or felt like people have judged you when you've walked into a serious conversation because of how you present yourself?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, I think so. Because my style is a little tiny bit out there.
I like it.
A little bit booby. A little bit booby here and there. A little bit Donatella Versace. Do you know what I mean? This is me reined in, but I love her. She's fabulous. But yeah, probably. Like I said, I didn't feel that I fitted in that box. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't feel, I felt there was a box to be a front person, like a Charlotte Tilbury. And I felt I didn't fit in it. And that's just the way it is. But now my confidence, I think it comes with getting older. Like when you hit 40, you start.
Are
you 40? I'm 42. But you went.
You look fantastic.
Oh, thanks, honey. But you do. I think my mum used to say this to me. She'd be like, you won't be giving a shit when you're 40. And I thought, whatever, that's like years off and I definitely will. But it does hit you where you do start to care less about what people think. And I think that's helping a lot.
No, you look absolutely beautiful. And also you are really into your fitness. And how important is fitness for you in running a business?
So important. Like I put all that to one side. Like it was always, work always comes first. Of course it does. But you've got to put yourself before work, because otherwise, if you've not got that headspace and that free time and that peace of mind, you're not going to be productive, are you, in the workplace? I do a Move It Monday with a team. So my team hated fitness. Some of them still do, but I do a Move It Monday and I do boxing now. It's because we've all just decided we prefer boxing over kettlebells and running or whatever, yoga.
To be fair, so fair. Kettlebells is hell.
It is hell. So they love it. So we do boxing on a Monday. Imagine that on a Monday morning. You've had a heavy weekend, whatever, but you go in and you know what it feels like after a boxing sesh on the pads. You feel great, don't you?
Do you ever think of people when you're doing it?
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah.
I really like, sometimes I have to really hone in where
I'm pissed off. And your uppercut's a lot better, isn't it? You know what I mean? Oh, yeah.
It's just that's like any part of life, like I think, because also if your personal life isn't steady, it affects your business life.
You've got to have the space.
I say to people all the time, don't bring your personal life to work. I'm so guilty of it.
Yeah, always. It'll affect your whole week if you've had bad news. But I just think breaking it up with that bit of fitness, it does help. It does help so much. So yeah, I think that I always put my fitness, I get that in every morning. I'm a morning person. Are you? Do you work out in the morning?
What time do you wake up?
I wake up like, if I'm doing like kettlebells, that's 6 a.m. So I wake up at 5. So I'm 5 or 6 every day.
So mine is ranges between 4 to 6.
Yeah, 4.
So if
that's airport time for me.
And you know what? It does sound really, really muggy. But basically, if I have the gym at 5, because I basically move myself into the countryside.
Yeah,
it takes me like half an hour to get everywhere.
Yeah,
so I have to get up, feed the dogs.
Yeah,
get myself ready.
You've got a busy
morning.
And the dogs
take like 15 minutes to
sort. Yeah, they do.
And then I got a rock, so it takes like so it's like 4. But if I start the gym at 5, and if it's at 6 or 7, then I get a bit of a lie-in.
Yeah.
But I enjoy waking up that early because I feel good.
I think so. I feel productive when I'm early morning.
But then I do have to have a little nap for 10 minutes at work sometimes.
Do you? You got a bed in here?
Nah, just that little sofa there, babe.
Take it back. That 5 minutes just makes all the world a difference, doesn't it?
It really does.
Just that eye close. That.
So I'm going to spin the conversation back around.
Go on.
How would you say since the rebrand, your leadership style has changed? As obviously you were saying that you've really changed your sort of mentality on how you're looking at things. So when you're leading your team, how do you think that's remained the same or slightly changed?
No, I'm more professional.
I'm sure you weren't professional.
I wasn't professional before.
I was leading by
friendship, which I still do anyway. We're all really, really good friends, but I'm just more professional and I'm planning better. I've gone into a whole new like business era where I'm interested in the figures now and everybody can see the difference. I think I was always interested in Doll, but just not the intricate details of like the stuff I found boring. But I just feel like now the planning is better for me and the team, like what, and then the goals are better, like for me and the team. So I think, it's more professional. And also our warehouse was not outsourced, but it was in a different area to where I lived. I brought it back into Chester now. So everything's more in-house. So every single thing that we've got, the office, the salons, the warehouse is all in Chester. So we're in every single day. Less holidays. You know, when you have all this, the staff, you're going to obviously take your eyes off the ball a little bit, aren't you? Because you don't need to oversee the warehouse. You don't need to oversee this. You don't need to oversee that because you've got loads of staff to do it.
That's the one thing I've learned is because no one's ever going to do it the way you do.
100%. I don't think anybody's as creative as the person that's made the brand. You've got to literally have your eyes on everything or it's not going to be as good as what you want it to be. But so, you know, I think you were speaking to me before about the being a doer and then being a leader, but I've gone back to being a doer because I want to see everything from the ground up. Mm-hmm. I want to see how we pack an order. I want to see, is that packed to perfection? Do we need to add anything to it? I want to see how we stack the shelves. I want to see how the orders come in. I want to see everything. I want to see the shipping, why it takes so long, how much it costs. So I've gone right back to the beginning.
I love that though.
Yeah, I'm not delegating because I want to be able to delegate it right when the right time comes. So I want to do every single thing myself. So this has been a blessing for sure for me. And it's going to be a really good journey again, because I know what mistakes I've made in the past.
Yeah.
So it's going to make us a better leader, isn't it? Because we've seen it all from the ground up again.
But I think as well, as you grow, sometimes it's so many more things are added into the equation.
Yeah.
So it's almost like you have to relearn your business.
Everything.
Because when you start and you only have 2 members of staff, it's so easy because you're doing everything.
Everything.
I used to do my own VAT return back in the day with my accountant. Yeah. Obviously, I don't do that now.
Yeah.
But I remember knowing VAT so well. Yeah. Now I have to like remind myself and go, okay, reminder of why we do that, and et cetera.
Yeah.
That sounds so silly. But
no,
I just think, because I'm not an accountant or anything like that, I think for me, sometimes I have to sit back down and go, okay, so if you're going to join us as a talent, what's that journey look like? Is it, how easy is it for you in every set of the
word?
And, you know, what is that whole process?
Yeah.
Even down to say, you know, it doesn't always work out with talent. What's that exit plan? How do we make that also easy and we leave it in a great way?
Yeah.
And I think for us, that's been really important in learning the processes across the board. Because when you're small, you don't have to do it that way.
No.
So as you grow, people, I think, especially who aren't in business, don't realize how complicated something so small
much to it
becomes.
Yeah.
And it's a real labor of love.
Yeah.
You know, I was saying to my MD, Ella, that this year is the first year where it feels like we've worked so hard. And as a business, we've just not been praised the way we did the year before.
Yeah.
And not that that's the biggest leader, but it's, you know, it is a bit of a hard pill when it feels like no one's watching.
Yeah.
But they are, because everyone's watching that moment to when you get bigger and you grow.
Yeah.
So have you felt that before?
Yeah, felt like we're not doing a good enough job.
You feel like people just see the work that goes into it.
Of course.
You know, you just sit there and go,
hold on 1 minute. Yeah, it's all the time, because you're not showing everything, are you? What you're doing, and sometimes you think the work that you've put in. Yeah, of course, I feel like that. But now I'm showing everything on the behind the scenes. I'm making sure I get the recognition. I want everyone to know what that there's 2 people that's done this bloody rebrand. But I get that.
The things that people don't see, you know, because there's always the front stuff, like you love creating makeup.
Yeah.
So in terms of how you start with a product, so say your new product you've got coming out, how do you decide what that product's going to be? Check the quality. What is that process for you?
This is a lot. So I said, we're rebranding.
Yeah.
I want everything wiped out. I want all this old stuff wiped out, gone. Get rid of the hearts, everything. We'll sell through, we'll do sales, and then we're just going to rebrand. This is the new, simple. It's a new logo, let's go. It's only going to take 3 months. This was in January. We're only just starting to get the new products now. So a new product. So we've got, say for instance, we've got foundation now. That process is a long process. So we've been working with like MUAs from like a whole range of MUAs to get the tones, the colours, everything right. You've got to create the moulds to make sure your packaging stands out from everybody else and nobody can rip your brand off. So it's like a custom mould that has to go into it. So your ingredients need to be like ahead of the game now. You can't just make a foundation. It's got to have your hyaluronic acid, your this, your that, the other in it. You go through your sample stage, you go through your trialing stage, your market, you know, your market research stage. It's a lot to do.
It's a lot.
And then it's a lot of money. You have to pay for the product.
Yeah.
Then you don't get the product for 6 months.
Takes 6 months.
Yeah, because you've got to pay the deposit for the product to start the process.
Yeah.
Then you've got like probably 60 days now, because there's so many brands that are, you know, sourcing overseas. You've got big long lead time. So you've got your 60 days, then you've got your shipping. So that's how long your money's tied up until you actually get your product to sell.
Yeah. God,
then you've got to do all your promotion, your your influencers, your affiliates, your, you know, your shoots, your just everything to get out there. But it's all worth it when the product comes. We've been so excited in the warehouse when everything's been landing now, and it just, it makes me so happy to see all the new stuff going onto the shelves. It's just, it's really lovely to see your hard work, like,
yeah,
put in. But it takes a long time. It wouldn't take a long time, I think, if you had your own factory and a lot of money like Huda Beauty, let's be honest.
Yeah, but
I'm sure she's got her own bits going on over there. But it's when you're in a queue in a factory that's got like
but
a
yours
load
is
of other
the realistic expectations of what running a business and your as you're scaling looks like.
Yeah.
So, you know, and at some point she would have been in the same position.
Yeah.
But then I guess that's one of those ones we were talking about earlier. She was an influencer first.
Yeah.
So she built this big brand.
She was amazing, wasn't she? Remember the lashes?
Oh my God.
The name of the
ones? I like
ones.
Her powder.
Yeah, I love Huda. I love Huda. I just love everything that she's about, to be honest. I think she's a really
She seems good, really nice as well.
Yeah, she's you can tell she's genuine. You know, like when she's meeting these people and inviting them to the events, you can tell it's from a genuine soul, you know what I mean? I really like her. She's really inspiring. But we are going out. We're looking out for investors now.
Oh,
that's
really?
Our next step. Yeah.
And what does that look like in terms of trying to find an investor? Because you have to do an investment round, right?
I didn't know anything about this, Han. Honestly,
I don't know a huge amount about it.
I know about this crowdfunding, the angel investor. I've just found it all out. I've been on ChatGPT. So. I don't know where to start. So we had a company come to us, like a big company that owned quite a few makeup brands, and they came to us years ago. It was about 4 years ago, and they thought, two bimbos, let's have them off. You know, they was promising the world, you will own 48% of your company. It's going to be amazing. Imagine what you can do. And we were like, I'm straight up, I'm a council kid. I knew this, that I can smell a rat when I see one, do you know? So, and we'd had people come to us and we nearly went through, we would have gone through with it if it was more beneficial to us, but we seen what they were about and we didn't want to go further. So them coming to us was fine, but we didn't know how to go out to other people. So we've just contacted a lot of companies like in the US and here who may be interested in investing in a makeup brand, indie makeup brand, whatever. And we've just had a few conversations with people for now, but it is something that we want to go down the route of, just because I think we can take it to a certain level, but I think to get it to that global level, you've just got to have a little bit of bit more expertise, and you've got to have a bit more money.
Yeah.
That's a lot
thing.
More money.
It's because it's the products, isn't it? It's a little bit different.
Yeah. And to have this whole range with what we want.
There's a lot of management companies who take investment,
yeah,
which is similar, because if you want to, it's all like our version of the same thing, I guess, is stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, because you have to have talent managers to have talent.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the current climate, the salaries everyone wants is higher. And also everyone works really hard. They deserve it.
Yeah.
But it takes a little while. And I think, the UK government are really bad for not really supporting businesses.
I don't think the UK government when you see it from a school level of what they teach us in school, I don't think they actually support entrepreneurs, to be honest with you. I think they just... But I remember getting laughed at, like, you know, by the careers advisor, if you wanted to be something more than to go in for an apprenticeship to be whatever, I don't know. But I don't think they support entrepreneurs at all. I don't think our country does. And I think everybody's just meant to get a job and not, I don't know. The way I look at it.
Business rates will go up again.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's for some small businesses where their margins are already small, that cuts in even harder.
Yeah.
It's hard to like keep those businesses afloat. And it's just a weird time.
So sad seeing people.
I'm seeing a lot of businesses move to like Dubai.
Good. I'd be there if I could.
You would just move there permanently.
Oh my God. I would just, anywhere in the sun where you don't pay tax. What is better than that?
Apparently it's very expensive to live there.
Okay.
Because I think you have to find...
It'd be expensive for us to live there, I'm telling you. No, It'd be a dear deal. But... Obviously, I love the UK. I love everything about it. I love the people, love the UK, but it's just, it is starting to get ridiculous what we have to pay as business owners, like starting to get.
How have you found trying to work with influencers and the costs of that now and celebrities versus 2016?
Well, I was asking coming down here for a little bit dizzy today. 2 and a half hours on the train. Yeah, but rightly so, because you need, I seen... For example, GK Barry with the new makeup brand that's gone into Superdrug, Emco. Would we have known about them without all the influencers? No.
Sure, yeah. It's a great case study, yeah.
No, we would not have known, because I'm watching that because she's on that and everybody else is on that. You do need it. So rightly so. But obviously the costs have gone up. Every cost has gone up. But then it is deserving because it's amazing for your brand. What would you rather do? Spend 30 grand on a billboard in Times Square or give 30 grand to GK Barry? I know what I'd rather do.
Do you think brands need influencers to survive?
They need influencers. Yeah. You need gifted work for the smaller, because obviously your smaller influencers and affiliates, they're really great for you now. But you just do, to get your name out there, it shows the Australian brand that's come to the UK, everybody's talking about it because of one influencer.
I'm going to send this to them.
No, but it's true. It's a great thing to see.
Yeah. No, it is. It's amazing. Obviously, I'm very biased to it, which is why I like to hear other people's opinions, because I think for when I first started the business, people really used to mock what an influencer was. And I'm telling you, influencers are so smart. They understand personal branding like no one else. Yeah. They understand how to market themselves and sell a product better than any billboard could.
100%.
Because they understand their audience. Yeah. And I think it's interesting when some brands I've met, they still aren't sure on it, or they really don't want to put money behind it. And I think if I started a business now, the first thing I'd do, if I had one product, I would give it to like all these influencers and I pay one and just, because I think that's where you're going to get, whether you get sales or not is not how I think people should measure it. It's brand awareness.
It's brand awareness.
And like you know, breadcrumbing.
Yeah.
And I was talking to my partner this morning about this and we look at something like 90,000 images a day.
Yeah.
And so which one stands out to you? Yeah. How do you make that stand out?
Yeah.
So when I'm on like the tube, I always look at things and I think, am I going to remember that when I get home?
Yeah.
And it's very rare I do.
Yeah.
But I do if it's a celebrity that I know.
100%, because you're relating to that person. It's all about brand awareness. Mm-hmm. I don't expect, when we launched our lipsticks years ago, we did a lipstick lunch in every city and invited influencers.
That's amazing.
We went to Beverly Hills, went to the Beverly Hills Hotel.
Oh, you lived it up.
Brand trip. And I remember our lipsticks just, number one, they sold out and they're still now really popular, but No, it was because we did so much influencer marketing with that, like the lunches. Do you know what? That was what made the biggest difference, I think.
Is that your biggest
Launch?
Yeah.
It still is now. We've had to rebrand them. So the supplier for the lipsticks takes longer than anyone else, which is so annoying. So really, we would have liked to brought the lipsticks back as the first product in the rebrand, but it's just took too long. But people go mad for our lipsticks. They're like the best selling on TikTok.
I've got a few of your lipsticks.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to send you a big box tomorrow. You're going to get a big box of everything.
At Christmas.
Yeah.
I like the light one because I put it with my dark lipstick. Yeah,
yeah.
And it's like
doled out.
Yeah. And because also the makeup artists I work, like I use, all use Dole Beauty as well.
Huda,
Liel.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're Anna Lingus.
Anna Lingus, I love Anna.
Yeah, they're great.
She's been a doll from the get-go, Anna. But just the community we've got, we're so lucky because they're just so genuine. Like we've supported them, they've supported us from the get-go. You know,
I think
don't forget your people.
In terms of how important makeup artists are to your business,
really important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think they recommend it, isn't it? You look at, I always buy things that makeup artists recommend.
Of course you do. And you've got makeup artists in the north. They're doing 20 to 22 clients a day every Saturday. So, So
I think you put Chester on the map, to be honest. I never heard of Chester until Dale.
There's brands doing events in Chester now. And I'm like, excuse me, get out of my town. Chester has gone a little bit on the map, hasn't it, really? Yeah. That little small town.
Dole Beauty HQ. Yeah, I know exactly where it is in Chester.
You need to come. Makeup artists are massive for us. And we're really connected with our makeup artists. We always make sure they get the new stuff, like the new liners, no matter what the following, you know, because obviously 22 clients, they've got your lipstick on, then it goes off. They tell their friends. It's good. They're good for us.
I don't think your proudest moment yet has happened.
No,
to be honest.
I think the proudest moment is going to be this second time around. I'm really excited. But at Beverly Hills Hotel was one of them, to be quite honest with you.
So we'll put that up there. But I still think one day you're going to message me and go, Ham, it's happened.
There's probably loads, to be honest. But yeah, you're right. It's probably not happened yet.
Sometimes we don't celebrate our small wins enough.
I love doing the small wins.
I'm trying to celebrate them a little bit more now. Because I never used to do it.
Yeah.
And now I'm always like, no, what's the next thing? What's the next thing?
Yeah.
And actually, that's just how you just end up miserable and you're never happy or content. And I try and like relay that to my clients who are like, do you remember when you wanted this?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, it's hard graph that you've got here and it's amazing. And I think it's so...
You forget it, don't you, once you've got it. You're like,
yeah.
I think it doesn't matter now.
If I look back, I would never think I'd be sat here.
Not.
What advice would you give to your younger self?
check contracts and leases. Have confidence.
No, I've done the lease thing before. Yeah, I get it.
Still tied into this bleeding office for another 2 years. We were late by 2 weeks handing it in and they tied us in for another 2 years. Nightmare. Anyway, I would just have more confidence in yourself, in myself. Just believe in, it's a bit cheesy that, just believe in yourself, but you've got to believe in yourself. And, oh God, what would I give to my younger self? Don't spend all the money on silly things.
So fair. So fair.
Yeah, spend it on stock. But yeah, it's like I've got this, I'm so lucky because I'm getting this chance all over again.
I'm really, really excited for you.
I'm excited.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. The best in the biz.
Nah, you're the best.
Thank you, babes.
Thank you so much for watching this episode of Managed. If you loved watching, please make sure you're following us so you can receive updates on our next episode. I'll see you next week.